This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. All right, I've got a few more minutes. You can stop for now. But you guys will play with me in a bit. I want to try to extract some truths that the Lord put on my heart recently. I'm going to try and teach. Now, let's do some work. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. And then we're going to read Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to try and build slowly and then try to have a crescendo of what God wants for us. I can see we are in the street called Jubilee, and then my brother, Pastor Donovan, yesterday spoke on preparing for a new season. Well, I want to bust everything open and say all doors will open tonight. Your amens look as if they are far away. I said they must open tonight. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Please follow the progression of this scripture. It's quite interesting. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loose. Matthew chapter 12. Starting from verse 1, the gospel, according to St. Matthew, from verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Please watch carefully what's happening here. And his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears of the corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? Verse 4, the last one we're going to read now. And he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Father, breathe upon your word tonight as we close this conference. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Let your glory walk in the midst of your people. And let your people be edified and your name be glorified in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen. I want to speak on the subject, all the doors are open. And I want to bring it from a perspective that is of major interest to me. I'm 55 years old, which makes me excited. And then, in my journey and my walk with God, there are things that I have noticed that if you stay stuck in what you already know of him, you'll be left behind. Please follow me carefully. In other words, I believe very strongly that everyone here requires an upgrade of their operating system in the spirit. Because what you know of God yesterday is not enough to sustain what you will deal with tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make you understand that the patterns of wealth, and when we are talking about wealth, the Bible distinctly differentiates between wealth and riches. So when we're talking about wealth, we are not talking about an abundance of material things. We are talking about receiving that which God bestows upon a man that makes him different anywhere he goes. And so you can't work to get wealth. You can't. I want to say here, ladies and gentlemen, if you're writing notes, then write this, that wealth can only be attracted, and it can only be attracted by what you become and who you become. In other words, what you are looking for is also looking for you. It's going to be good here tonight. It's also looking for you. Some of you are saying, I'm looking for favor. Favor is also looking for you. Some of you are looking for a husband. The husband is also looking for you. But perhaps it is not this version of you that they are looking for. And so if you haven't attracted anything yet, it's because you have not become what that thing is attracted to. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. If you're going to change your paradigm in the place of where you are, because too many people are praying so many prayers and then it looks as if God doesn't answer. Can I also give you another thing to think about as I exegete this passage? Is that if you pray and you've done all the things you know to do, you have fasted, you have given, you have sacrificed, you serve in the house of God, and you pray and God is silent, perhaps God's silence is the answer. Perhaps. It's going to be good here. Let your spirit be open, because there are going to be so many caught up moments. All right, let's keep it going. And so Jesus introduces us here, and he is trying to deal with a change of culture and a change of behavior. Because if you're going to access the Jubilee season, there has to be a change in these dimensions that we walk in. I want you to please have this understanding that a live church, as we are gathered here, is not in a physical location. Whatever the address is, let us say the address of this place is number 1 Muzinzin Street. That's not where a live church is. This is a spiritual portal. And everything that goes on in here has got very deep spiritual connotations. In fact, from this portal, you can access a dimension that is not yet known to man. Please follow me very carefully. So when you come into this vicinity, you are not on earth. I will get there. You're not on earth. People are too quiet. They are silent. I must say this here, Pastor Paul, that this gathering is greater than 10,000 sessions of the United Nations. What they are deciding over there cannot legislate what we do here. Because here we are called senators of the commonwealth of Zion. Here we decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Oh, can I speak like I feel already this evening? That something's about to break out in your life that eyes has not seen, ears has not heard. It has not entered even in the heart of man, the things that God is going to show forth through you. Get ready, a takeover is about to happen here. Oh, your amens are weak. I say it's about to happen here. You better look at somebody by your side, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. Look at that. Don't kiss them, just look at them. Tell that person, shake my hand now that you have the opportunity. Because after this Jubilee conference, you're going to have to go through an appointment system. Tell that person, shake my hand. If you must understand that the writings of the synoptic gospel, that is the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they follow a particular process. So before we came into chapter 12, you will read in chapter 11 where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. And just in case you need to understand the motions of scripture, John was not called to be a baptizer. He wasn't called, if you notice, he baptized looking for Jesus. I don't have the time to explain. And after Jesus was baptized, he didn't baptize anyone. It was one assignment. Baptize one man. And then after a while, the Bible then says in Matthew chapter 11 that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violence takes it by force. Even in that same Matthew chapter 11, Jesus also talked about this generation, that was that time, they were like little children playing in the marketplace. There are too many in the church today that are playing in the marketplace that don't understand the place of value. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, that the times we are in is more dangerous than the times they were in? Because until there is an understanding of that which we carry, we are not yet ready to transact and put a mandate of God's kingdom on the earth. Can I say that one of the reasons why Jesus has not yet come, for those of you that were waiting on the 23rd of September, one of the reasons is that he is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And what is that spot or wrinkle? We are not talking about the absence of sin in the life of a believer. But when he says without spot or wrinkle, he's actually talking about the fullness of the blessing being manifest by every child of God. Write this in capital letters in your notes. The least you can become is a city. Please write it down. I'm going to try and get there on Sunday in the service. It's the least you can be is a city. And then Jesus ends chapter 11 by saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, blah, blah, blah. Then he comes into chapter 12 and begins to show us a mystery. Please follow me carefully. So I want to say some things and maybe I'll preach somewhere in the middle. On the Sabbath day, the disciples were walking into a cornfield, and the scriptures, notice, put it up there, chapter 1, verse 1 of Matthew 12. They walked into the cornfield and his disciples were hungry. Follow this carefully. There are places in the scripture where Jesus was hungry and the disciples were not hungry. There were also places in scriptures where the disciples was not hungry, Jesus was not hungry, but the people were hungry. There were also places in the scripture where I then realized that the hunger the disciples were having here was not for physical food. For the hunger that they were referring to here in verse 1 of chapter 12 was a hunger for kingdom dominion that Jesus spoke about in chapter 11. If you are still at the times that we are in, hungry for physical food, you have not yet entered into the place where God could use you to change the environment where you are. You must be hungry beyond natural processes. In fact, one of the identity labels to know that somebody is regressing is not if he's chasing women, is not if he's drinking, if not if he's stealing. The biggest identity label is if you cannot control your stomach. I want to say some deep things here tonight. Amen. I'm not in a rush. I'll preach to you in a second. You must be hungry for something that is beyond the five senses to see God. If you are going to see God at all, I don't know about you, but I'm reading about one of the patriarchs in our time. His name is Pastor E.A. Adeboye. The old man is 84 years old. And yet in his last conference a few weeks ago, there were 6.8 million people that attended one night. 6.8 million. That is Lesotho and Swaziland put together. One man. Maybe you don't understand what we are talking about. Do you understand the amount of money that will be spent for the toilet system alone? How do you control 6.8 million people when they go to the bathroom? Do you know how you have to dig? What kind of system is in place? One man in his old age, when his eyes are supposed to be dim. And yes, 6.8 million can attend one conference. And they were still running around the whole place thinking it's about doctrine or theology, whether we should tithe or not, we're still playing games, still trying to check if one doctrine is right or not. We now have people who have become social media sensational preachers who have no clear understanding of the mind of God. The mind of God is all about winning that soul that is next to you. Are you hearing me here? At least win them first before you can start telling them all the nonsense you're telling them. How do you even have a system designed to receive offerings from 6.8 million people? What offering baskets do you pass? Oh, glory. I said there's a takeover coming. Somebody say amen. Men of the spirit that are here, who will behave like the sons of Dodo, who are able to penetrate, pick, and pay by the wisdom of God and circumvent their system by a system that is greater than theirs. Did you not see it in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have you not asked yourself the question? The Bible says that they had the understanding of the Chaldeans. They were greater in science. In other words, the believers of today have to be 100% spiritual and 100% intellectual. I came to say something about opening the doors because I am tired and tired of being tired of people who are coming to us for prayers. Nobody comes to me because I ain't praying for nobody. Because you have to mature in these things to walk in the wisdom of God. God is waiting on you and you are busy waiting on him. He's waiting on you to grow up. Too many kindergarten believers in our church. So Jesus in chapter 12 brings us into a specific revelation that I now find quite interesting, and allow me the time to exegete what he was saying there. Glory to God. The scriptures in Matthew chapter 12 does not tell us who owns the field that the disciples enters. Neither does it tell us who obtained, whether they obtained permission to enter or not. But they entered the field and they started plucking ears of corn and ate. The meal they ate was not to satisfy a physical hunger, but was to satisfy something that was beyond them. I believe this conference was designed by God, not for where you are, but for where God is taking you to. And so you don't have to get into a space where you're always thinking, what miracles will God do for me? But you have to get to the point where you become the miracle itself. Are you listening to me here? I am not looking for wealth. I am wealth. Oh, you know, let me tell you. I am not looking for favor. I am favor. I am not looking to be healed. I am the healed. It is impossible for what I carry to accommodate sickness. The reason why there is sickness in the body is because there is absence of the truth. I came to make an announcement here while I still navigate. Come on, Ike, you're taking too much time here. I want you to understand that darkness is not a threat. What is a threat is the light you do not have. Because the moment you have light, then darkness dissipates. And ladies and gentlemen, there are different versions of light, but what you need to scale in the kingdom is light. If this building, if all the lights were to go off right now in this building as we are, it would be very dark. And if you put on the light on your phone, it is light, but not light enough. I remember Pastor Paul that I went to preach somewhere. And it was a great service somewhere in the United States. And then the pastor decided to carry me back himself. He didn't want a protocol driver to drive me. He felt that, oh, what he had that night was so interesting. And so he takes me in his car. And I noticed that his car, he was driving one of these very exclusive luxury SUV vehicles. And prior to me going to preach, I was driving a Scoro Scoro. The kind of car that I drove, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when I was driving that car those years, when I drive at night, I thought it was my driving that made me drive slow. I thought the car did not have a performance, so it drove very slow at night, only to discover that the headlamps were cloudy, and the kind of light that it dissipated determined the speed I drove. You are not going far because the enemy is fighting you. You are not going far because the kind of light that you have. If you want to access Jubilee, you have to access greater light. I stand upon this altar upon which the oil of God was poured, and I declare you shall enter into that light. You better don't say yeah, yeah, amens, because some things are not going. Come on, somebody shout a better amen. So when I sat in his car, we're driving in the night, and the LED light that he had, I saw that the light could go to a certain distance. And then when you came into a place where it was darker, the light will expand by itself. No wonder the Bible says the entrance of the world gives light. Oh, yes. And it gives understanding to the simple. For the word of the Lord says, for the word of the Lord is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I stand upon this altar. And I said, the word of God that has not yet opened up light to you tonight, by the word of the Lord, you will access that light in the name of Jesus. And so when you study closely, you will find that Jesus was drawing, put it up on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 24 and 25. Just follow me carefully. I'll soon get into a path. Deuteronomy 23, 24 to 20. If you enter your neighbor's vineyard, remember that they entered into a field and we were not told that they received permission to do it. But this was where Jesus was talking from. He said, if you enter into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat all the grapes that you want. You may eat anything that you find there, but do not pluck any and put into your basket. If you have come into this alive church, listen to me, when you enter this place, pluck from the harvest. Eat from that harvest that Joseph and Cordelia has grown. But you are not permitted to take anything away. If you enter here, please leave our worship leaders alone. Don't steal our ushers. But what you are permitted to take away, follow me carefully, is the seed. The reason why you're permitted to take a seed and not the fruit is because the fruit does not have the capacity to multiply itself. But if you take from the seed, and that is why I said we should give to him, because there is a seed that has germinated and grown to bear fruit. So when we were giving, we took a seed out of him. Why? So that you can go and plant that same seed anywhere you go. You go to Limpopo, you go to Pretoria, you go to Johannesburg. When you plant the seed that you got in this vineyard, you will get the same result. You don't get results by eating the fruit. You get results by planting the seed. Plant the seed and the harvest will duplicate itself. The Bible says they had worked for no wages and the harvest was now coming there. So Jesus was feeding them for what is coming. Now watch this. There are seasons in your life. I'll soon begin to preach to you in a second. Are you learning anything so far? Are you sure about that? There are seasons in your life where, write this down, number one, the field is closed, but the corn is not ripe. The fields are closed, and the corn is not ripe. Number two, the field is opened, but the corn is not ripe. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Glory to God. Number three, the corn is ripe, but the field is not opened. The corn is ripe, but the field is not opened. Number four, the field is opened, and the corn is ripe. These are varied seasons where you find yourself. The second part of my message was now Jesus begins to talk to the Pharisees, and he said, this is what Jesus said, did you not see what David did on the Sabbath? It's still in that same Matthew chapter 12. Because of my time, I'm not going to each verse. Jesus said, did you not take note of what David did on the Sabbath? Let's just find out, what did David do on the Sabbath? 1 Samuel chapter 21, and let's read from verse 1. Glory to God. What did David do on the Sabbath? Then came David to Nob, to Abimelech the priest. And Abimelech was afraid of the meeting. Why was Abimelech afraid? Because Saul had put out a notice to kill David. So the news had gone everywhere that David was to be killed. Anywhere he was sighted, kill him. But David ran to the priest. And the Bible says Abimelech was afraid at meeting David and said unto him, why art thou come alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Abimelech the priest, the king had commanded me a business, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Verse 3, now therefore, watch what's happening here, crazy stuff. Now therefore, what is in thy hand? Because David has been running now. The first thing you get when you come to the place of the priest is not prayers, but bread. And he says, what is under thy hand? He said, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand. Interesting that this is the first time we will see the mystery of 5 loaves. There is a reason for it, because when God is orchestrating you, he can only orchestrate you through the patterns of the word of God. That's why when you come to your man of God, stop asking for prayer, ask for a word. Ask for a word. Well, maybe I take you back a little bit. We fast forward into the news. Keep that scripture there. You would find that when they were hungry, the Bible says that little lad had how many loaves? 5 loaves. All right. Do you all remember that? So that 5 loaves was a mystery, was a pattern. It was a protocol of the Spirit designed for something. Remember, we said sometimes the corn can be ripe, but the field is not opened. So there are people that have received the word, but something has not yet opened them up into the jubilee that God has for them. This was David's case. Why was the 5 loaves important? Hear this. When the little lad had given his 5 loaves, and the Bible says they had fed everyone, the Bible says they gathered the remnants, and they put them into baskets. How many baskets did they put them in? Come on, talk to me. How many baskets did they put them in? So what was going to happen to David? Remember, he already had a kingly anointing upon him, but he was not yet king. In other words, his corn was ripe, the field was not yet open, so he needed to eat the 5 loaves. Why? Because when he ate the 5 loaves, David will now multiply into the 12 tribes of Israel, which will now give him access to become king. Are you hearing me here in this place? There are people that after this Jubilee conference, you would have eaten the 5 loaves. And I came to prophesy that there are 12 there are 12 places of favor that God is about to release to someone in this place. I came to speak a word that before this time next year, you shall be 12 times greater than where you are. The one that shouts the loudest amen, your own begins tonight. And so, ladies and gentlemen, he now asks for 5 loaves. He asks for it so that, and David was, listen. David was walking in a path that he had no understanding. God is not going to break the protocols that he has to be able to access you. Can I just let you into a little secret? Because sometimes you don't understand that when you come into a church like this, everything is packaged by God for your lifting. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How was David going to become king when he was not a royal from the royal family? In fact, the Bible says it was David who told us that he was a product of a one-night stand. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So Mr. Ben-Jesse, his father, was not married to his mother. Now he was a bastard. He was an illegitimate child. And then now, all of a sudden, he was going to be king. Do you think that God is going to break the protocol by taking David and making him king? No. They had to follow an order. Where was the order? After he had dealt with Goliath, the Bible says Jonathan, his soul knitted to David. And then when he came back from one of his victories, he called him to the back of the house and said, let's cut covenant. What happens when you cut covenant? It means all that you have belongs to me, and all that I have now belongs to you. So if you read it carefully, the Bible says Jonathan brought his crown, he brought his staff, he brought his robe, and then he put it on David, and David exchanged his former life and gave it to Jonathan. When they cut that covenant, that was when David now became the legitimate son of Saul. Sometimes your enemy is the access point to where God is taking you to. All right. All right, it's coming. And so David, when he got in there, remember now that these loaves, come on, Ike, you're taking some time. If I look at my notes, I won't finish. Remember that when he now got there, David now says, give me. When they got inside, please follow me carefully, the only bread that was available was called the shoe bread. The shoe bread was only to be eaten by the priest. So it was illegal for David to eat the shoe bread with the people that were with him. But I came to make an announcement that there are some blessings that have been illegal that you were not qualified for. But because of the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ, what you thought was illegal has now become legal. Oh, I can't hear. I don't know if you are ready for what I'm about to say to you here. I came to make an announcement that some people were not yet qualified to enter the place of Jubilee. But because of the blood of Jesus, some people here that are not qualified, you are going to go home with a package of Jubilee that eyes has not seen, ears has not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. I came to tell somebody here the kind of favor that you cannot explain. By the time you wake up 24 hours from now, that favor is resting upon your house. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right people here, but I came to tell 3 people that will shout a loud amen. God is about to break you into things that they said was illegitimate. So give it to us. Come on, Ike, don't preach yet. Break this thing down. So David now, he eats the shoe bread, which was illegal. When he does, look at verse 8. Take me to verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 21. So it's about to happen here. After he had eaten the shoe bread that they said was illegal, oh, glory to God. Can I stay there for a minute? Is that okay with you guys? I have 19 minutes. I'll try. If you remember the Syrophoenician woman who was not qualified for healing, she came to Jesus and she said, "Heal my daughter." And Jesus looked at her and said, "How can I bring what belongs to the children to dogs?" He called her a dog. If it was today, social media would have gone crazy. But watch the response of the woman. She then looked at him and said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master table." Number one, healing is a crumb. You're not ready for this. Number one, healing is a crumb. And then when she said that to Jesus, don't forget that the only time the Gentiles were going to qualify for redemption is after Jesus died. But here was a Gentile who was placing a demand of something that was in the future. Oh, you're not hearing me here. What you are praying for that should come in December, I came to announce that December shall be tomorrow. Let me tell them here. I said your December, what you're waiting for in the next 2 years, some of you are going to wake up tomorrow morning and mercy shall sit upon your doorstep. If you believe it, somebody shout yes. So after now, watch this. After he had now eaten the shoe bread that did not belong to him, that was illegal, his eyes were open, he now had strength, then he now said, what did he say? And David said unto Abimelech, "Is there not here under thy hand a spear or a sword? For I have neither to defend myself." So he had now received strength. How does one man receive strength and he knows an army is coming to kill him? "For he has put to flight 1,000. But with the word of God, you shall put to flight 10,000. You are not hearing me here. Remember, I just said to you that the least anyone should be in this place is a city. One of you can take on NetBank. I came to the wrong church tonight. I am telling you that I came with an anointing for a takeover. Some of you, they don't know you now, but very soon they will announce your name in the palace. The Bible then says, he said, "For I have neither brought my sword nor weapons with me, because the king's business," he couldn't gather his weapons, because the injunction from King Saul was killing. And he says, "I don't have a sword." But watch what Abimelech said in verse 9. Oh, this is crazy stuff. And the priest said to David, "The sword of Goliath," the Philistine, "whom you slew in the valley of Elah," he said, "behold, that sword, it is here. It is wrapped in an ephod." It's the first time you will hear the connection between David and the ephod, but not for tonight. He said, "It's wrapped behind the cloth in an ephod." He said, "If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is nothing else you can use to save." David remembered that sword. And then David said, he said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." Woo. I'm about to preach to you now. I feel that preacher's anointing is coming. Because I feel that thing is coming. Sir, what was the sword of Goliath? Listen, the reason why David said that there is none like the sword of Goliath, give it to me, was that the sword of Goliath was marked. How was it marked? Every time Goliath killed people, every time he conquered a nation, they marked his sword. What does it mean? It meant that the wealth of that nation, after Goliath had dealt with them, was transferred to Goliath. That was why the Philistines were the economic power of that time. So when David went and he destroyed a nation, they marked the sword by the spoils that they gathered from that nation. But what David was not understanding was that God was setting things up. God said, "I should announce, Pastor Joseph, that he's setting a live church up." How was setting up? He said, "Every place, every people, every nation that Goliath had killed people, all those nations, all the wealth that was given, the moment Abimelech handed the sword to David, all the wealth of that nation was transferred to David." Oh, you're not hearing me. He did not have to work for it. He did not have to fight for it. God will allow Goliath to fight all your enemies so that you can fight only one. I came to announce in Jubilee 2025 that God is about to cause you to fight the one enemy, and everything Goliath has gathered, for the one that will shout the loudest amen, it shall be your portion. Shall be your portion. Are you listening to me? So let me find a place to enter into my preaching. David, now here he is, now king. He resides in Jerusalem. While he's in Jerusalem, the Philistines at that time had taken the ark. This is why it's important, sir. If you put on the screen, we'll come back to this scripture. Put Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Let me show you something, and I'm going to deal with it on Sunday. You mustn't miss Sunday service. Amen. Glory to God. Are you learning anything? Amen. Somebody say, preach, Pastor. Preach. I'm trying my best. Watch this here. Watch this. Acts 10 and verse 38. And let me show you this. Watch what it says here. How God anointed Joseph and Cordelia Wokocha of Polokwane. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, or with them. If you read this scripture, you would think, and this is the mistake we make, you would think that it was because Jesus has anointed, that's why he went about doing good. No, sir. Because I'm anointed at some place. I don't know how many times have you prayed for people as support. Nobody got healed. But he's anointed. It wasn't because Jesus was anointed. That's why he was doing good. Let me show you how and why Jesus was going to. It was because God was with him. When you carry the presence of God, I don't know if you are ready for me here. There is nothing that can stop you. The Bible said the sea saw them and fled. What did the sea see that made it skip like rams? He said, and trembled down earth at the presence. I'm going to show you on Sunday that the number one thing you need after this Jubilee conference is to be a carrier of the presence. And so David now was king, and then he decides to go bring, he knew that the presence of God was a major prerequisite if we're going to enter this Jubilee that we're talking about. And so he takes the ark, and then they were going to Jerusalem. As they were going, the Bible says that the ark was stumbling. The oxen on which the ark was put began to stumble, and Uzzah, one of the priests, thought he could help God. Your intellect can't get you anywhere. I don't have time to break that down. So he thought, come on, I get 10 minutes. He thought he could help God by holding the ark. And as he held the ark to make it stay stable, he was killed. When they saw that he was killed, they said, we can't carry this thing to Jerusalem. And so the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, that they now said, let us take the ark. And they took the ark and kept it in the house of a man called Obed-Edom the Gittite. The word Obed-Edom, the word Edom is the old Hebrew word for black. In other words, Obed-Edom was a black man. It's been long they've been doing racism to black people. This apartheid thing didn't start in South Africa. It was long. In other words, David said, if the presence of God was going to kill anyone, let it kill a black man. And so they put that ark in the house of Obed-Edom. But God was about to unveil something that you're about to walk into. Hear this. And when they put the ark in there, Obed-Edom at the night, on the first night, he brought his wife and his children. They stood looking at that ark. Oh God, help me. As they stood looking at that ark, they did not know how to worship. They didn't know what song to sing because they were Philistines. They were Gittites. They were not Jews, but they have heard with their ears how God dealt with the Egyptian. If you are not hearing something, oh come on. He said, we heard how you dealt with the Egyptians, and now we are here. I don't know what song to sing to you. I don't know whether we should dance like this or we should sing it this way. But all I know is that you will receive my song. And so they sang anyhow. Listen, if you will sing in the face of that affliction. No, you're not hearing me. If you will sing in the face of that bill. If you will sing in the face of that thing that has been looking at you. Listen, there are some things that prayer can't answer. But when you sing before the Lord, the word of the Lord said, I will sing unto the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider. I came to prophesy to someone here. The horse will fall into the sea. Every rider that has been riding against your family, your business, your career, your ministry, I stand by the oil of God upon my life, and I said the horse shall fall. Yeah. And so they sang to the Lord. The Lord did not wait for them to get saved. It was the singing that brought joy to God. And the Bible says in 3 months he became a national testimony. There are some people in this building, after this Jubilee conference, that you would sing and rejoice. And in 3 months' time, by an apostolic order, I came to tell you, it's your time to rejoice. Somebody here, you're about to become a national testimony. I don't know who I'm talking to, but they shall look for you in Parliament House. And so said, I'll soon be done, 7 minutes, okay. And then he sang, and then David came. David came. Ooh, you're not hearing me here. Somebody said David came. In other words, the thing you're looking for, you're not going to go and look for it. They are going to come to your house. Can I preach like I feel to someone here? In this Jubilee season, I came to prophesy. The king that you thought you would go and meet, they will come and look for your address. Somebody here, something's about to change in your life. If you believe it, shout, yes! And so, the king came. When he saw that this guy became a national testimony, then he took the ark. Watch this. Watch this. And then, when he took that present, he prepared it on the calf. Then he began to sing. I'm sure he must have gone to ask Obed-Edom, what did you do? So Obed-Edom must have said, I don't know. We just sang to it. The song was not in sync with the melody, but it was a song of the heart. Why is it a song from the heart? For the scripture says, for the Lord will try the reins of your heart. Can the Lord pray the string of your heart and then see that it's time for him to open the field even though your corn is ripe? And so David now sang, and then David did one extra thing. The Bible says he will go 6 paces or 7 paces. Let us just call that 7 kilometers or 7 miles. After every 7 miles, he will slaughter a lamb. And when he slaughtered the lamb, the blood of the lamb will sprinkle upon him, because at this point he was wearing the ephod. It will sprinkle. Oh, these things are metaphor. That's why the blood was needed on the lintel of the door. You can't escape anything without that blood in its place. And so the blood will sprinkle, Pastor Joseph, on David. They will go another 7 paces. And the blood will sprinkle. They'll go another 7. By the time they got to Jerusalem, David was drenched in blood, that you could not see his clothes. And then Micah was on the balcony, his wife, his treasured, beautiful chick that he had married. She looked at David and disdained him and said, look at the king. She couldn't see the clothes. Sometimes your enemies do not see the mark of the blood of Jesus upon your life, and they will now think that you are a target. I came to announce to someone here, God will allow them to make you a target so that he can showcase you for his glory. And the Bible says that Micah came down and said, look at the king, dancing naked before this handmaiden. Watch this, I'm about to close. Dancing before this handmaiden. And he said, as he was there for the handmaiden, David then answered, is it not for this reason that the Lord made me king over your father's house? But David himself did not know, Pastor Paul, what God was about to do. Because it was God that caused your enemies to stir up. God wanted Micah to say what she said. Why? Because Jesus was not going to come from the womb of Saul. Oh, you are not hearing me here. You are going to praise God in such a way that what your enemy thought he would give battle to stop you. The Bible says, and when she said it, the Lord judged her and shut the womb of Micah. Why? Because Jesus was not to come from that lineage. You will praise God tonight. You will praise God on Sunday. Something that is going to come out of you is going to silence the enemy. I stand upon the anointing on Joseph and Cordelia, and I declare to you in this place that the womb of your enemies have been shut. It's been short. So let me now bring a conclusion here and read four scriptures. Give me some time. Four scriptures that we're going to pray about. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come on. You're going to walk with me. Are you hearing some stuff? These are deep teachings. Amen. You've got to hear this over and over again. But Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 18. We're beginning. We're going to pray in a minute. In fact, we're going to pray on each point. Are you ready for it? Then the Bible says, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Verse 19. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered, these are the horns that have scattered a life church in Polokwane. Reva Teriato. For someone that is looking in the realm of the spirit, the Lord said, I should tell you that your days of scattering is finally over. Your amens are weak. I said it is over. I stand on this altar and I declare that instead of scattering, you shall begin to gather. Oh, I can't hear you. You will gather your favor. You will gather your blessing. I make that announcement. The scattering of your mind, the scattering of ideas, the scattering of money is finally over. Are you ready for some more? Make sure you write the scriptures down. Next scripture, Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. Oh, come on. I'm about to close. Don't worry, I'll preach to you guys on Sunday. Let's get the scriptures together, but we're going to pray. It says, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast. Watch this. It says, he that entered in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entered by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came. Ooh, oh, Pastor Joseph, there's something that you have left on this altar. I came to prophesy. You came in through this gate. And then once you were here in the solemn assembly, the enemy decided to wait for you at that gate. That once you come out of this Jubilee conference, as you come through that gate, he's going to destroy you. But he did not know that there was another, oh, come on, church. I came to prophesy to this house that the way you came is not the way you're going to go. Somebody here, God is going to confuse your enemies. And then you shall go through the other gate. If you're that person, shout yes. Isaiah, oh God, hold on. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Give it up. We're going to pray in a minute. It's coming. It says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord had given are for signs and wonders in Polokwane. Amen. This week, Pastor Paul, something is bubbling inside me. There are people that are gathered here. You left work. Some of you left work today. They saw you the way you are. But as you came to this Jubilee conference, the Lord said, I should tell you, he will make you a sign. Amen. And he's about to make you a wonder. Can I prophesy to somebody here? As you go back to work on Monday, they won't recognize who you are. Why? Because after this conference, you shall be a sign. Oh, I thought I would hear a better amen. And you shall be a wonder. If you believe it, shout yes. Stand on your feet. I'm about to do two more scriptures. And I'm going to close. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 2. Watch this. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. The Bible says, and are you ready? You're going to shake the dust. Oh, come on, church. Are you ready to play with me? This is my keyboard, my musicians. It's like if you are not following the Spirit. I want some loud, rambunking thing. Watch what he says in Isaiah chapter 52. He says, shake thyself from the dust, oh God. I can't see you shake yourself. Look at how you are standing. You're going to shake it. Hold on, hold on. Why are you shaking? You're going to shake out pain. You're going to shake out failure. You're going to shake out poverty. Why are you shaking the dust? Watch this. That's why Jesus said, when you come to the door of their house, he says, shake the dust from thy feet. Why do you need to shake the dust? Because the dust is the food of the serpent. If you carry the dust into your house, the serpent shall come in. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, we are about to shake off the dust. Somebody shake the dust. Come on, shake it off. I said, shake it off. I can't see you shake it. Come on. I said, shake. Shake out failure. Shake out poverty. Shake out disease. Oh, I can hear you. Shake it out. Two more scriptures. I'm almost done. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 27. Genesis 27 and verse 27. And the Bible says, and he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment. Play this thing hard for me, guys. And the raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field. Oh, hold on. Pastor Joseph, the Lord said I should tell this house. He said, your children have not smelled anything. January, February, March, April. They have not seen any blessing. But tonight, even though you haven't seen anything, but you smell something. I don't know who I'm preaching to. And the Bible says in the next verse, come on, verse 28, what did he say? And he said, because you can smell something here tonight upon the life of God's servant in this Jubilee, he said, therefore God will give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and thou shalt have plenty of what? I can't hear you. Plenty of what? I prophesy to our live church, your days of plenty of corn has finally come. I said, your days of God has finally come. Two more scriptures. Job chapter 14. Come on. Job chapter 14 from verse 7. Oh, glory to God. Glory. And then you're about to pray in this place. The Bible says, for there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch therefore will not cease. Verse 8. Though the roots therefore wax old in the earth, though things are not happening, and the stalk therefore shall die in the ground. But look at verse 9. Yet, oh God, yet through the scent of water, the Bible says it will bud and bring forth fruit as plants. I came to prophesy. There is the scent of water in this conference. What was not productive in this place, get ready, is about to be productive in your life. Go to seven people and tell them, I smell water. I smell. Come on, tell seven people, I smell water. I smell water. I smell water. I can't hear you. Tell them. Tell them. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I smell water. I smell water. Ah, I smell water. Listen, listen. I want you to go and tell seven more people, I smell favor. I smell increase. I smell a breakthrough. Tell somebody, I smell the Jubilee. Hey! Woo! I don't know about you. Listen, listen. But when I was growing up, when you are hungry and you are going to eat mama's cooking, just the smell of the food has taken away the hunger. I prophesy to someone here, you will smell that breakthrough. I said you will smell that lifting. I said you will smell that favor. Tell five more people, I smell something. I smell, I smell, I smell, I smell, I smell. Last scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 4 to 5. Jeremiah 29, get ready for this one. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Alive Church, unto all that carried, God allowed them to carry you captive. It's for a reason. Unto all that carried you away captive, whom I have caused to be carried from Jerusalem into Babylon. But God said, when you get to the land where they are putting you as captive, he said, look out. He said, you shall build houses. you are not ready here. I came to prophesy to someone, your days of renting is over. We're in the Jubilee. I said your days of renting is over. The Bible says you shall build houses. I prophesy to you, you will build in Polokwane. You will build in Johannesburg. You will build in Pretoria. You will build in Port Elizabeth. If you're that person, shout, yeah. And then listen, he said in the Jubilee, not only would you build houses, he said you shall dwell in them. I came to prophesy, no sickness will take you out of your blessing. You will dwell in that house. If you believe in shout, I hear, I hear. But this is the one that is exciting me, Pastor Paul. And just in case, what does the Bible say next? And do what? I can't hear you. Do what? Shout it out loud and do what? Whatever you are looking for, if it's not there, plant your own. If you are looking for a baby, plant your baby. If you are looking for increase, plant your increase. If you are looking for Jubilee, plant. Come on, church. Are you ready to plant in this place? You are going to lift your voice and pray one more time.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.